All good.
Cool. Hi, Renee.
Hello.
Hey Renee, is Newcastle Royal working from home now?
Yes, that, well, for a few weeks now it's been kind of half and half.
Yeah.
And then last week everyone's been.
Now, I think Leah might. Is Leah on the call yet? Oh, there she is. Yeah, I can see it. Yep, she is. That's cool.
Oh, we've got a few people. That's great.
It is, yeah. Probably just wait another minute and then we'll start kicking off. Clinton.
Warren, how are you?
Good.
Two times in 1 week.
Oh, it's getting a regular thing. Do you like my background?
I still haven't got to figure out how to do that.
Oracle approved image.
I
love looking at your lounge room, Clinton.
We're going to get a good nosy at everyone's home life now, aren't we?
It's actually a green screen.
Is it really?
No.
I was going to say.
Well, I'm thinking we should start. Is everyone okay if we start now?
That's lots of nods. Thanks, Warren.
Yeah, cool. Okay. What I'm going to do first of all, I know we said there wasn't going to be an agenda, but I just thought we'd structure it a little bit. So I'm going to share what I put up as an agenda. This is all open discussion. Share. So I'm hoping you're seeing something called introductions. Is that on screen now? Yeah. So I thought we'd go around because there'll be various people on this call that will know each other, but there'll also be various people on this call who don't know each other. So I thought we'd just go through university by university and just sort of quickly say who you are, sort of quickly what your role is and what you're hoping to get out of these calls. But while people are going through this, I'd also like people, if they could, to sort of think about what are their urgent priorities that they want to talk about on these calls. And then we'll come back to that. So have we got anyone from ANU at the moment? Oh, Jason.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Cool. Yes, my name is Jason. I'm from ANU in the taxi project team. I'm a functional analyst. Primarily to join the meeting to see because we are sort of a little bit behind on schedule at the moment, but so we haven't really got into too much in depth to see what's could potentially be our pitfall. So happy to listen and chip in if we have came across any issues, then we can join together and solve the issues together.
Yeah, sounds good. Is there anyone else from ANU on the call?
Let me have a look.
Hi, can you hear me, Warren?
Yep, Scott.
It's Scott here. So look, I'm on the same project as Jason, so I won't repeat it all, but we'll just see how it all goes. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else from ANU?
Hi, it's Fatima from ANU.
Hi, Fatima. And what are you looking to get out of these calls?
I guess sharing the experiences with the other universities, finding out what the other unis are, how they are responding to with the current climate, yep. And I guess comparing each other's approaches.
Yep, sounds good. Anyone else from ANU? Okay, let's move on to Fed Uni. Helen.
Hi, Helen Sutton, Manager of Admissions and Student Retention. So I'm again looking for some information, knowledge, and what we're all doing, particularly around academic progress and grading, and also from the admission side of things, you know, term dates and things like that. So hello, Warren, and all.
Have we got anyone else from Fed Uni?
Yep, Sharon Watson-Ross from Fed Uni. I'm Manager of Student HQ, and just like Helen, I'm actually just really sitting in to listen what everyone else is doing in regards to the impacts of COVID-19.
That's great. Welcome.
Warren, there is a couple of others that are trying to get on, but I think they're having difficulty with accessing their Zoom via their computers working remotely. So they may get on in shortly.
Okay. Just so everyone knows, this session is being recorded. So if the worst comes to the worst, we can send them the recording or I'm happy to talk to them. Is that people like Sally as well? Is she trying to get on?
I'm not sure about Sally, but I know Sharon Austin was from, she is from the...
Sorry, Sharon,
I'm Sharon's there. Okay. And Ben Watson's trying to get on as well. I'm not sure about Sally though.
Okay. So other Sharon, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
I'm Sharon Austin, I'm Manager of Registrar Services, and I'm responsible for the academic calendars and the configuration of our programs and courses in the system. So basically the same as everybody else, just looking to see what others are doing and what we can learn.
Sounds good. Okay. And do we have anyone else from Fed Uni at the moment?
Yeah, Sonia Duffy. I'm the Manager of Government Reporting, just the same as the others, seeing what everyone else is up to and impacts, and especially around reporting and what everyone else is doing.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, David Larson was going to be on this call, but he had a bit of an emergency. He's been called away. But then I guess we're not using David Larson anymore. Or the reporting, legislative reporting, I can know that. Okay, anyone else from Fed Uni?
Helen Ryan's here. I'm the Manager of Program Support from Fed Uni, same as the others.
And Claire Shaw on the University Registrar.
Right. I'm just writing this down. Yep. Anyone else from Fed Uni?
Yeah, Hugh Townsend. We've also got representation from IT.
Cool. Excellent.
And I'm Leanne. I'm also from IT for Fed Uni.
Right.
And I'm Sandra. I'm also from Fed Uni as well.
And I'm Helen Peters. I'm also from Fed Uni Finance.
Oh, we've got a lot of Fed Uni folks.
Yeah.
Hey, Leanne, how's Michelle going?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. Yeah, she's doing well. The baby was born last night.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes, that was good. Okay. Oh, well, say hi from me.
I will.
Yep. Anyone else from Fed Uni wanting to introduce themselves? No? Okay, so let's move on to Griffith.
So I'll start, Warren. So Clinton Lamont, I'm the team leader that looks after all our enterprise information systems in student space. And like everyone else, keen to see what's happening in this space and what other institutions are doing and the gotchas. So I'll pass it on to the other people from Griffith.
Yeah.
Rob Oliphant, Manager of Business System Services. Clinton's one of my team leaders, and I'm just here really to make sure that he represents us well, because there can be issues with that. So I'll just sit in the background and make sure that he's doing the right thing with the Griffith flag today.
Thanks, Dan.
No, seriously. Clinton and his team have been working a lot with the business areas on their requirements. I'm sure there are some very similar requirements there. So we're just happy to share and also find out what everyone else is doing. Thanks.
Cool. Is there anyone else from Griffith on the call as well?
There's quite a number.
My name's Heidi. I'm working with Clinton.
Okay, cool. And I assume you're sort of looking for the same sort of things that Clinton and everyone else is looking for?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Anyone else from Griffith?
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm in Clinton's team.
Yep.
And just interested to hear what everyone's doing, I guess.
Cool, that sounds good. Anyone else from Griffith?
I'm Adam, also part of Clinton's team, and yep, also wanted to see what everyone else is, how they're coping.
Yep. Others from Griffith?
Yes, I'm Alvin, another one from Clinton's team.
Okay, Alvin, and anyone else from Griffith?
Yes, it's Emma Little here. I'm a senior business analyst on our projects, and I've been working on the grade, Griffith's grading solution. I'm interested from the perspective of just obviously assessment changing as well as grades, and what other universities are doing around the grading area.
Good. Okay. Any more from Griffith?
Hi, I'm Amanda Eddy. I'm the manager of the exams department. Very similar to my colleagues, interested in any discussion surrounding assessments, grades, grading basis.
Yep, okay. Any more Griffith folks? Okay, let's move on to ICMS. Nadia.
Hi, my name is Nadia. I'm a deputy registrar at the ICMS, so responsible for student data and the systems. But the biggest question is the change in assessments and how to proceed with further grading and resulting. And interested to see what people are doing as well. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Nadia. Is there anyone else from ICMS, Nadia, or is it just you at the moment?
I think it's just me.
Okay, cool. That's fun. Have we got anyone from Lincoln? Oh, New Zealand, you've let me down. That's a shame. Anyone from Open Universities? Cool. RMIT.
Yes.
Michael?
Yes, it's Michael from RMIT. I'm the... one of the systems administrators of the student administration system.
And what are you looking to get out of these calls? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I'm not sure at this point in time. I just learned about this a few minutes ago, so I'm just listening in for now.
Okay, no, that's fine. Anyone else from RMIT?
Jake Gowans. I manage student lifecycle operations at RMIT. I'm the reason Michael only found out about this a few minutes ago. I was a bit lax in forwarding this meeting on, so there may be a few other RMIT people here scratching their heads. But I'm here, I think, for the same reason everyone else. We've been grappling with a few of the same things, shifting our census dates around and fixing up our grading bases and stuff, and just sort of interested in other universities' experiences, what problems you've found, solutions and so on, and yeah, see if there's anything we can share.
Okay. Others from RMIT? Okay, no, that's fine. Have we got anyone from Unitech in Auckland? Oh. University of Adelaide.
I'm Ev Grievous from the University of Adelaide, a PeopleSoft functional analyst, and basically here to hear what everybody else is doing and compare approaches, mainly around the grade changes and any AHEGs and transcript changes.
And you're on a tropical island.
Thanks, Jason.
You I'm on a tropical bye. Island.
Yeah, guys, see ya.
Oh. Have we just got...
I think there are some others on the call from Adelaide.
Yeah, hi, I'm Cherry from University of Adelaide. I'm PeopleSoft Campus Developer. I would like to find out what the other universities are doing around the grading area.
Okay, yep. Anyone else from Adelaide? Nick from RMIT.
Hello. I just quickly wanted to check with you.
Yep.
Warren Braxton.
Hello.
Bannister
Bursary. Oh, need to mute, I think. I'll stop everyone hearing what was going on in my background.
Sorry, that's Nick from RMIT. He's one of the developers on my team, and apparently got some background noise.
So did he want something to say, or?
I think he may have just been introducing himself.
Okay. So should we go back to Adelaide? Is there anyone else from Adelaide? We've got Eve and Cherry. Anyone else? Okay, that's fine. University of Auckland, have we got anyone from Auckland? UNSW.
So New Zealand's in lockdown, Warren, so obviously not communicating.
But they're all working hard from home.
Jason Dolan, from UNSW. I'm the head of student systems. We're obviously doing some changes around grading, so curious about any conversation around that basis. Look after CRM too, so there's a whole lot of pain in that space too, but that's unrelated to today's conversation.
I'm kind of encouraging the CRM side of things to do something similar. And maybe you could contact Marty at Newcastle. He may want to organise something like this. I think it may, if you think it's useful.
Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll do.
Anyone else from UNSW, Jason?
Hi, Warren. Ian Langster here. So good to see what we're doing. Everybody's doing around the grading changes and transcript type changes as well.
Transcripts. Yep. Okay. Anyone else from Newcastle? From New South Wales? UNSW?
Yes. Bhavana Parbu. I'm one of the functional analysts working with in student systems yet, like everyone else, just trying to find out how other units are coping with COVID response. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's good. Anyone else from UNSW?
Yep, my name's Julia. I'm in Jason's team and I'm particularly working on grading an assessment for our first term.
Okay, thanks, Julia. Any others from UNSW? No? Okay, so let's move on to Newcastle. I heard Renee was on.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we're up to and if we've been officially asked to do anything yet.
Okay. Is there anything that you know is going to be coming that you that you want to talk about or talk with other people about?
I only know what everyone else has heard, that no one will fail. Maybe you shouldn't record that part.
Are you social distancing in Newcastle yet, Renee?
We've all been working from home for a bit. But
just checking.
Except for my fur babies.
Jason, is UNSW working from home now?
Yeah, we have been for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, okay, cool. Have you got anyone else from Newcastle?
Oh, bugger.
What?
I was hoping Linda would be on the call.
It's being recorded, so I can share it with you if you need it. Notre Dame, have you got anyone from Notre Dame? No. UQ. Anyone from UQ? Oh, that's a surprise. UniSA.
Hi, it's Rob here from UniSA, senior developer in IT. Just coming on to see what people are doing.
Oh, hi, Rob. Is there anything that you're, any interest that you particularly want to raise?
No, I just sort of wasn't quite sure how this was being different from the taxi work groups that we've been having. So,
yeah. So it's going to be more around, the intention is that it's going to be to, because I imagine a lot of the universities are having very similar issues at the moment, or a lot of commonality of issues. And I was thinking that it's probably a good idea if we can just get together and share ideas rather than everyone having to do it individually. But that's what we're thinking of.
I do know we've transitioned completely to all online teaching. Virtually everybody's working from home. So,
are you in the office though?
Yeah. Wow. No, it's just a photo I took before I left.
Oh, I see.
Pretty so cool. I can have a, I can look like I'm at work instead of on an actual tropical island.
Anyone else from UniSA?
Yeah, hi, I'm Lokesh. I'm also like a senior developer at the uni.
Okay, and is there anything particularly that you would like to talk about or explore?
No, it's similar like what Rob said.
Okay, that's fine. Anyone else from UniSA? Okay, cool. USQ.
It's Kaweng from USQ. I'm working with Leah Bess. I'm interested to know more about how other universities handle grading and grading basis and assessment in this period of time, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Leah. Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button. Yeah, we're just in the same situation as lots of other people. So I've been talking to individuals at other institutions and, Warren and I got together and thought that this would be a good idea to, try and get a wider group together to save all those individual conversations going on. So, yes, looking forward to hearing what people are up to.
And Leah, do you know if there's anyone else from USQ on the call?
I think Vivian is on the call.
Take it away, Vivian.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Hello. Yes. Okay, sorry. It's Vivian Formica. I'm Student Systems Coordinator at USQ and obviously working on the production side of the taxi changes, working alongside Leah and Kaweng. So all of this stuff is really pertinent to me as well. And it's interesting to see what other people are doing. So, thanks for the nod.
I don't know if you heard, but David Larson was going to be on this call, but he's been called away. Okay, Uni of Sunshine Coast.
Hi, it's Jason here. I'm the Acting Manager of Student Systems. We've got on the call as well Yvonne and Lauren from our timetable and academic structure teams. Yeah. And Joe from our SIAU, our analytics team as well. We're all working from home, or most of us are working from home. Most of our teaching's online. I haven't heard a lot in terms of what's being asked, but I was more interested in hearing what other unis have already been asked, because inevitably that would mean that we will hear someone have the same idea if it hasn't happened already. So sort of getting a heads up on what may be coming. Lauren may be able to talk around timetabling when we get to that and about the ideas that have been tossed around with that. But I do know that we've at least had to adjust one census date at this stage. So it's likely that we'll have to do something similar in the future.
Okay. So that's it. That's all of the Sunshine Coast folks covered. We've covered everyone. Cool, excellent. Okay. So this initial call was really just going to be an introduction and to highlight the areas of concern. I think we might alter that a little bit. I just wanted to bring to your attention, this is not a sales pitch, this thing here. So if anybody is interested in getting Oracle training on Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. I know there are a number of sites that are doing Oracle Cloud Infrastructure or thinking about it. Oracle's giving you free training for the next 45 days. If you want me to send you that link, just send me an email and I can forward that to you. So here's Oracle giving you something for free, which we're all really impressed about. So essentially the rest of this call, did we actually want to start talking about how people are addressing specific issues, or what do you want to do? Any ideas?
A common theme, Warren, seems to be change of grading basis and that kind
grading,
of thing.
The grading basis courses. That has been coming up was really noticeable. Do people want to start talking about how they're doing it or what issues they're finding?
So that's something we've been asked to investigate, and I've been in touch with Jason specifically about this. We're thinking at this point that the only way to do it, to feasibly do it, is with a script. I know in the past when we've had to do this for, you know, administrative purposes or whatever, we've dropped and re-enrolled every student, but that's really not feasible to be doing for every single student in S1. The other thing that we've been asked to look at is potentially allowing students to have an exemption. So, so while they'll still get graded, they might be able to request to have that grade excluded from their GPA calculation. We've looked at that as well, and I think the easiest way to do that is just to set up an entire new grading basis, and do a change of grade essentially to the same grade, but excluding it from the GPA. So that's the lay of the land at USQ at the moment. There's nothing official at this point, so it's really just investigation at this point, just to see what's possible and, yeah, from a system perspective.
When do you need to get your grades out?
Our grades release isn't until, looking at the calendar, July. So we've got a bit of time to sort out what we need to do, but, yeah.
Hey, Leah, have you thought about Emma, who's on this call, came up with on the grading schema table, there's a convert grade. So basically on your grade of fail, you can convert it to another grade. So you're not actually having to change the grading basis.
I did see that field on the grading basis table and wasn't sure what it did. But thank you. I will look into that further.
Yeah. That, so,
yep.
So Emma tested it, and basically, when you apply a grade to a student, the engine behind it applies the other grade. So what we were worried about, I think, is how grades are pushed into PeopleSoft and then are pushed into student records. So we didn't actually have to change any of our processes before that. They all calculate the failing grades, but at the time it's then pushed to a student's record, it converts it to another grade.
So could you do with that with the, so say if it was a graded course with a HD ABC sort of grading scheme, could you then just enter a P in that converted grade and then everyone gets a P regardless? Rather than changing the grading basis against all the enrolment records?
It's Emma here. Yeah, basically the way I just tested it because Griffith had made a decision that all of our failing students, any student that fails, they don't want the grade to actually be included in the student's GPA, and they also don't want it to appear on the transcript. So when we just had a look at, the functionality, there was a convert to field. And so the way it worked was that we have a grade, say, 1 to 7. Sorry, that's not the kids in the background. The grade 1 to 3 are fail grades. And so we're looking at just updating the convert to be the new grade that will not be GPA applied. And basically what happens in our system is that they'll calculate as they are, and so we can still determine that the student's got a 1, 2, or 3. And what happens on post is that it's through the posting mechanism that it actually applies the other grade, the new grade. So that can be either through an enrolment request or grade roster or however you decide to post your grade. So that's pretty much what we were. Sorry, I'll take myself off. I'll mute myself because of my children.
I think that's really good because Griffith has three types of failing grade depending on how bad the student failed. And, you know, if we do it that way and convert it, we still have a history of what the original grade was in the back end. So if we want to then talk to our students or convey, we have that ability. We still have that initial grade that they were graded on.
Cool. The other question I have in regards to that is we were also, I think it came up before all of this even started, about not putting things on a transcript. And we thought at the time we found something in the Act or the regulations or something about that you must report, must have everything on the transcript regardless of anything, essentially. I was wondering if anyone else knows anything about that.
Hi, Leah. It's Catherine from RMIT. I'm late coming to the call, but I did hear your question. It's really interesting. I totally feel like I just dodged a bullet. I've spent the last 48 hours or so investigating the same thing in terms of it was put to me potentially to consider students having the ability to opt out of their GPA or their WAM. So luckily we're not going to go ahead with that, because what we realised we could do it system-wise, and yes, we agree with your solution of creating a new grading basis and converting the grade in SAMS, but what it raised was an award level integrity issue. So we could do it system wise, but we dumped it from a reputational integrity point, because what students will do is say they do one course, they get a HD, they'll leave the GPA and WAM attached to that course, then the other courses, they'll dump all the GPA and WAM off it. Then when you figure out their award level, it'll be based on one course. And then it's not grade point average, it's a based off one course. So it undermines the concept of a WAM or a GPA. So when I put it to my executive, they're like, oh yeah, they're going to stack it really bad, and we're going to put conferred awards on people's walls based on one 12-week HD course. I'm like, yep, problem. So that was the first part where we're not pursuing that anymore, thank goodness. But in terms of transcript, one of the things we are going to do, which I don't have approval on, so I'm still doing the discovery on, is yes, we're converting all our fails to our withdrawn grade, WDR, which is GPA neutral. We're leaving it on the transcript as a withdrawal grade. But when I was looking at the GPA WAM issue, we all did agree it must be flagged. And what we were going to do is transcript text. And we were going to put transcript message, which was not included in GPA WAM calculation due to COVID-19, and then list out our course information. So ours is four letters, four numbers, and have that as transcript text on the transcript, so that if you were an external party looking at the transcript, you could easily then add up the GPA and go, hang on, that doesn't calculate right to their advertised website. What's been opted in and what's been opted out, and why doesn't it add up correctly? So we were going to put transcript text on it and list out the courses that were not included, but luckily we've dumped all that so far. So is that helpful? So yes, we did feel had to be communicated to external parties where we hadn't included in GPA or not. So hopefully that's answer your question from our little point of view.
Thank you very much.
Can I just clarify on a point? Clinton, when you said you're adding a new grade, you're adding that within the existing grading basis, not changing the grading basis for the course?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. That's I just wanted to make sure, because the grading basis itself is a different beast to adding a new grade and then moving everybody across to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Clinton or Emma, my understanding was that you've got seven grades, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you're basically going to say, if you achieve a 3, we're going to convert that to a 4. Is that what?
No, we're going to convert it to a grade yet to be determined by executive. But it'll be a grade that we can explain somehow on a transcript. It's also going back onto somebody about making stuff not appear. If you start making stuff not appear on transcripts, do you not do that on other systems that students view their grades and stuff on? And I think that's kind of becomes huge amount of work moving forward. Whereas if you have an administrative type grade that, executive will approve, and this is yet to be approved. This is our suggestion to executive. It actually allows you then to communicate to students to say, hey, you've got this grade, administrative grade. It doesn't mean a fail, but but it does mean you have to resit that that course at some time.
So they couldn't use that administrative grade as a prerequisite for an advanced course?
No, because it means that they haven't passed it.
Yep.
It's also ensuring that there is the transcript still as a record of everything that the student attempted.
Yeah.
I think that's important too from an external perspective. I'm thinking of things like Centrelink or Department of Services or whatever they're called now, where if a student, we're obviously not sending data through CART anymore to that agency. So if a student rocks up with a transcript to try and prove that they're still a full-time student and they're seeing stuff missing on the transcript, that's obviously going to be an issue.
Yeah, good point.
So Renee, did I hear that you were thinking of just, that Newcastle was thinking of passing everybody? Is that what they were thinking?
You've heard the same thing as me, but I haven't heard any update on that.
Okay.
Sorry. So what we decided at ICMS to do is to, yes, have a specific administrative grade, but if a student has this grade, show the subject enrollments, but not show the grade. So, and that was approved by the academic board, that approach. So I don't know if that's will still be sort of legal from external parties' point of view.
So if they do legitimately pass it, you're going to show that.
Yeah.
But if they don't pass it, you're just going to put that they were enrolled in it with no with a
Yeah, so they're just a subject enrollment, but with no grade. And until they pass the subject in the next study period.
Okay.
So once they take it and pass it, then obviously that grade will appear on the transcript.
So at Adelaide, we've had a couple of things approved by academic board and we're now trying to figure out ways to implement them. One being students have an option to convert their passing grade to an NGP, which doesn't have any GPA assigned to it. Students will have a short time frame between 3 and 5 days to request to have their passing grade changed. Via our student portal, and that will go into the CRM and through to the relevant area to update the grades. We're also thinking of attaching a transcript note against the unofficial transcript, so the internal transcript, to be able to track who has had their passing grades changed to NGPs. And we're not sure if we're going to put a statement on the transcript on the external transcript and the AHEGs at the moment for those students. But I think we're also going to face the issue about the GPA integrity conversation that someone else was having just before. And the other thing we are looking at doing is converting fail grades to withdraw not fails, so not displaying the fail grade and mark on the transcript, but just displaying a WNF. We are thinking of doing both of these by inserting these new grades into the existing grading bases rather than assigning new grading base to every student and every course. So that's where we are at the moment.
So for the ones that want to, they want to convert their passing grade to a NGP, you called it, is that because that's because the student was under, you know, duress and do as well as they thought they would normally have done?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
yep. So the students who want to keep their HDs and their good marks can, and anyone else who wants their grade converted can also request it be converted to an NGP.
Yep, okay.
That's what USQ is looking at the moment as well, a case-by-case basis, not an overall, everyone gets their grade excluded from their GPA, just where they apply.
Yes, that's what we're doing as well, or hoping to do.
Are any other sites doing things that are different from this, or don't even know what they're doing yet, or? Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I quite like the idea of that convert grade. I think that's, to me, that seems a sensible solution if we can get that to work. We just talked about the AHEX. How are people addressing this issue on the AHEX? Do people know the legal requirements around what this AHEX requires? Do we have any AHEX gurus?
I thought for the AHEX, really, it's the transcript. So the student still has to graduate from, you still have to graduate your student, but it's really then how you display that program via a transcript through the AHEX. So I think it's the same kind of concept as what you need to show on your official academic record.
Are people thinking that's what they're doing, or?
Is there a particular call out for an AHEX change or impact? I'm just not aware, that's all.
I wasn't aware of one, Jason.
That's why, like Clinton said, we were so happy with the convert grade, because it means we don't have to change anything else.
Yep. On the AHEX, are you required to say that this is an administrative grade because of the situation, or?
I think it's the same. That's the same conversation you need to be having about your transcripts. I know that Griffith has, and I know a lot of institutions have somewhere what a grade actually means, because we don't just have our standard grades. We have a lot of administrative type grades that needs to be explained in somehow to, you know, other institutions, employers and such. So I think that same concept needs to be displayed somehow on the AHEX statement.
So, because I don't know the AHEX requirements. On the AHEX, if I've didn't pass my Accounting 101, but I got this converted grade, and then I retook Accounting 101 and got a credit grade or whatever, does it still show that I've attempted it previously and didn't pass it?
As long as you've attempted it under that program. So an AHEX should show all the courses that you've attempted in the program that you're graduating from.
Okay. So if I've attempted it twice and failed or not passed it, it'll show that one, and then it'll show the subsequent pass. Okay, that's all.
We're doing at RMIT just to make sure that, yeah, like someone said, that the transcript does in fact the true enrollment experience of the student, especially related to international compliance on full-time load and things like that, where external regulators now are relaxing a little bit on load levels for internationals. When it comes down the track and we need to extend their COEs, we want to be able to show where the load dropped due to COVID and things like that. So yes, that's why we're leaving those line items on the transcript, so that it's really transparent to everyone that the student was engaging and what the outcome was.
Cool. Who's going to need to apply to do this first? Who's got their grading coming up soon?
For Griffith, it'll be the WF period. So we have withdrawal without failure period. So, a student can fail a grade, but if they withdraw is 8 weeks into a trimester, they get a WF grade. So that'll be our first kind of grade that we'll have to convert. And it's actually not converting a grade, but actually we potentially will add a withdrawal grade and not a withdrawal fail grade. We'll replace that on the academic calendar. So that'll be our first kind of grade that we have to address.
Yeah, at Adelaide, we're also thinking of removing the WF completely from the calendar for the relevant term, so that the students will never be able to drop with a WF. They'll only drop with a WNF.
I'm pretty sure UQ are looking at doing that same thing. I know they're not here, but I was talking to Susanna. A bunch of us were talking to Susanna earlier in the week, and I think that was one of the ideas she was floating. So.
Withdrawal with greater academic penalty. I didn't realise it. She had to put it in. There had to be a value in there. Is it?
Yeah, that's correct. So a cleaner way to do it is not actually to remove the whatever your WF or the higher withdrawal with higher penalty. It's actually to replicate the same grade that you have lower than that. So for Griffith, it's W and then a WF. We're just replacing the WF with the W, and the configuration allows that.
Okay, cool. Is there something that other people wanted to raise on this call? Or are we comfortable that we can move forward from grading and come back to it later? How are people with... are you needing to shift census dates?
RMIT has shifted their census date, yeah.
And have your students already enrolled in those terms, semesters?
They had. And we're still fleshing out some of the technical issues, I guess, as time goes on. But for the most part, it was a pretty straightforward exercise. We changed the dates and it seems to be working. There was a couple of minor things around the way we generate our CAFs, but nothing enormous has emerged out of it yet.
And what about due dates and due calendars and adjustment calendars?
That side of it I don't know of, and unfortunately the person who probably does know more about it wasn't able to get onto the call today, so I don't have a lot of detail, unfortunately.
I checked with there was a question that came up from UQ last week about what's the impact on legislative reporting of changing these dates, and Dave Larson reckoned that there was it was actually fine to change these dates because it actually reflects reality. And he thinks that the intention is that if you do change a census date after you've reported it, well, he believed that it was allowable to have within one term, the census date was originally this, but we changed the census date to a subsequent date. Yeah, so we're hoping that's true. No one's
checked. I think it's allowable, Warren, as long as you don't disadvantage the student. If you just start disadvantaging the student, so if you actually brought it a week earlier in your trimester, then you start to disadvantage your students.
Yeah,
but as long as you're pushing it out, I don't think. Okay.
That's right. Going through what I wrote down. Do we want to keep going with this call, or what do we want to do? Do we want to, because this is all evolving as we go? Do we want to meet again? Do we want to meet again? How often? When? What do we want to do?
I think it's a valuable exercise. Unfortunately, we're not super prepared. It sort of came, the meeting invite got around to our area fairly late. We weren't very well prepared in terms of, what people are on the call and what information we brought along. But there's definitely, we've got a few things we've found out of the changes we've made that might be of use to other people, and I'm sure same goes the other way, so I'd be keen on doing it again. I don't know how regularly it works for everyone, but yeah, I can see value in doing it again.
Cool.
And there's just a question in the chat, Warren. It just says, I'd like to understand how everyone is managing the subsequent re-enrollment in a course/unit that was failed this semester. We just allow that in general, so there's no change for us in that regard, but anyone else wants to...
Do you not allow students to retake a course if they failed? I don't think I understand the question.
I would think it's more, are we looking to automatically re-enroll people? Are we reaching out to them? What's our strategy for that? Or are we just leaving it up to them to go and re-enroll? How are we handling things like if it's a prerequisite for a course and they did most of the course but they failed it, are you allowing them in as a co-requisite or something like that? What are people doing to manage that change?
Yeah, they've just come back and said, yes, auto-re-enroll versus self-managed. I think we would just be allowing the students to self-manage, but it hasn't been discussed, so.
I'm not sure who C Shaw is, but is there interest in auto-re-enrolling students?
I think that's going to be tough because your program structures are for different programs and degrees and institutions are varying. So, you know, a student may want to do it next trimester because they can, or if you have a summer semester. And I think that, so at Griffith, it'll be self-managed. I think the point is that we have to communicate to these students that they're not getting a fail grade, they're getting some other type of grade, and what the change management is around that to actually convey that they actually have to redo that course.
Yeah, thanks, Clinton. That's basically what I was asking. I mean, I'm assuming, for exactly those reasons, I'm assuming it would be a more of a self-managed academic progression. It's just like any other kind of decision around, well, what's available in the next semester? And sorry, I'm the registrar at Fed Uni.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Who was asking the questions?
FYI, and you don't need to use this, of course, and I probably think you won't be, there is the ability to do what we call block enrollment, so which you can basically take a list of students and enroll them into a list of classes or drop them from a list of classes. But given what people are saying, it sounds like the students doing it themselves, as long as they're made very aware of what they need to do, is probably the better way to go, would be my suspicion.
We're also putting, this is Catherine from RMIT, we're also putting in a strategy where we had an RNF grade result not finalised. We're extending the life of that as an interim because what we've got is placements. So say if you're in the School of Education, you're doing early childhood and you can't get into an early childhood centre at the moment. And that, so basically where students have got one component of the assessment yet to be completed, we're extending the life of RNF. Usually it lived for 3 months and then we expired and converted that centrally, but we're now extending that to 6 months, potentially longer. Yes, that does have effect on pre and co-requisite enrolments into semester two, but we know that students are just maybe going, or nursing, we have nursing and they can't get into hospitals. So we're going to have components of our that require physical being for students. So that's been our strategy, is to extend the interim grade.
Are you using the delivered processes to manage your RNF?
No, we're just gonna do it manually.
Okay.
Basically we're just not gonna convert. Where we used to use robots to do converting after 3 months, we're basically just gonna put that process downstream. And not convert and leave it. We have a change to grades panel. We basically just leave it and all our local area schools and colleges can convert the grade on a course by course, student by student basis when they can switch that RNF interim into a final. And if they switch it into a final fail, I'm going to go behind them as the academic registrar's group and scoop that up and put it as a withdrawal grade, because it's all term based, and so I know which terms are eligible to go to a WDR, a withdrawal grade, GPA neutral grade. So that might be my life for the next rolling 8 months, 9 months. Well, that's okay though, supportive of students.
Okay, so when, I'm assuming people want to have more of these, how regularly do you want to have them? When do we want to have the next one? Do people want to go away and explore stuff, or what do you want to do?
I think it's been a really useful conversation, Warren. I think it was only half an hour in the diary, but I'm glad I could stay on a bit longer to see the call out. It's, for me, it's helped me think of some things that we probably haven't necessarily taken front of mind. I think we're all just kind of frantically trying to keep up with the pace of working from home and everything else at the moment. Yep. So I wouldn't mind it being not too far away again before we kind of get around the table and chat again about how we're progressing.
And what does that mean in terms of...
I know at USQ things are moving very quickly. So, you know, day to day there's new things coming up. So I think probably maybe same time next week would probably be good for us, just in terms of, yep, Clinton's given the thumbs up, just in terms of the pace of this. I think leaving it too long, will just sort of mean we go back to what we were doing anyway.
Us trimester folks are probably going to be the, you know, bleeding edge pioneers on all this. So I'm sure Clinton wants to get ahead of it too.
You'll see my email address at the top of the screen. If anyone doesn't want to do it this time next week, like earlier or later, actually I don't care about later. If they want to do it earlier than that, email me and let me know. But at the moment we'll just say it's going to be at this time next week. And I think Oracle's just changed its policy so that it might require a password next week. So what I'll do, in fact, if I could get everybody to email me anyway, because I'm going to start building up an email list of people who come to these calls, and then I can send you out, oh my God, Oracle's just announced that you have to have a password, here's the password. So just send everything through me. So if I could get everyone who wants to come to these things to just make sure you email me with your contact details, I'm sure that you get onto my email list. But at this stage, we'll go for Tuesday next week. Is Easter over by then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not very good at those things. Okay, Easter, yeah. So we'll go for Tuesday next week at the same time.
Actually, if it could be Wednesday.
Tuesday next week is still a holiday for us.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, we'll make it Wednesday next week. Is everyone okay with that? Or anyone not okay with that? Okay, cool. So we'll make it the next week. But in the meantime, can everyone please email me their contact details and possibly just a quick list of the items that you want to cover, because I want to see which of the most common issues are coming up, because things may change over time. Or even if you found some incredibly cool solutions to these issues, that would be really good.
Yeah, I just had a question, Warren, sorry. Just around academic progress. Are other institutions still considering running academic progress for this year?
We are at UNSW. I'm not across it deep enough to understand it all, but it's a bit of a dark art. But hi. Yeah, we certainly are.
Hi, this is Catherine from RMIT. Yes, but limited. And what I mean by that is our academic progress criteria table has 9 criteria, which sets the standards at RMIT. And criteria 1 and 3 are going to be failed 50%, or repeat fail. And so we're not going to be, because we're switching no one or fail at RMIT this semester, those 2 criteria are irrelevant, but the other balance of the criteria are valid. So at this stage, we're moving that the process will move forward for finding students on those grounds and supporting them and communicating them. But the rest of the grounds, there's very low numbers. So that's where we're tracking with academic progress at this point.
Okay.
USC, we have our mid-year process is a bit odd anyway. We don't have enough time to really, restrict students by the time appeals and everything are taken into account to stop students from progressing academically mid-year. I think we're looking at relaxing that to some degree anyway, as part of everything that's happening, but I don't have any more details yet.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so unless anyone's got anything else to add, let's close it for there. I'm noticing that some people are already sending their emails through, which is really great. So we'll meet next Wednesday also at 2 o'clock. I'm hoping everyone's okay for 2 o'clock. So keep sending those, your contact details through, and if there's any issues that you particularly want to cover or if there's any clever solutions that you've come up with, that would be really good. So thank you everyone for joining. It's been really great.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Warren. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.